All right.
Whisking up.
Not sure if you're going to get any more of that.
There was a day this week where it really could have caused some damage, I think. And then, you know, the thunder rested a couple and the heat shit the bed, and I think that was it, pretty much. That's the end of the season for you.
Basically, you're the Rockets. You're not going to be able to make up those numbers.
Yeah, that's right. I made one valiant last push that fell short.
Yeah, but then you realised that you were pushing a valiant. It's an old car, kids. Ask your parents.
Well, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure drunk mums were conceived in a Valiant, so...
Yeah, they have that vibe to them, do they not? This is Tripping Balls, a music podcast, which means now we're going to have to keep all that shit to start with. I'm Doc, he's Bezo.
I like the random meta points where it's just like, where the fuck did they start with that?
Yeah. Drunk Mums, who are a Melbourne indie band. And you think, that sounds like a Melbourne indie band. And then you read their bio and they're like, three of us are from Cairns.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The other one's from country Victoria. I'm like, that works. That's exactly right.
Yes, Cairns and a Valiant is much more the birthplace of this sound than...
Yes.
Than a capital
city. Yeah, and a Valiant doing circle work in a paddock, spraying mud all over the cane fields.
I sort of feel like I need to let you monologue about this, because I'm just going to say up front.
There's not much monologuing you can do. The album only went for 20 minutes.
It's very enjoyable. Again, not my area of expertise, I should say.
Not quite my cup of tea.
Would you... Yeah, they're not quite in that choir boys pathway.
Nah, they're more kind of your Bogan, your Gooncore, yeah. Chats adjacent. I mean, they've been around longer than the Chats. They formed in 2012, so they predate that generation of bands, the Chats and the fucking Dune Rats and all those guys.
Yeah, I was trying to do like an 80s, 90s through point.
There is a bit of 80s jangle to them. There's certainly, sounds a bit of like they've got a little bit of kind of, I don't know, the Sunny Boys or someone like that. But mostly it's sort of garage punk sing-along fun. Like, my favourite track is Living at Night, which is got a great, almost, I don't know whether it's just guitar tune, but it's almost like, it almost sound a little bit like The Birds, like that 60s early psychedelic surf rock band. But mostly it's just, they're just doing riffs and singing and having fun, and they know to fuck off before their welcome's worn through, which is, a quality that bands of this ilk should have.
The other thing that these guys made me think of, and it ties in with the demise, or the seeming demise of Splendour and Groove and the Moo and, other big Australian...
Yeah, we should talk about that, because the death of Splendour, I know it's a one-year cancellation, but that's what happened to Livid, and it never came back.
It never came back, And Livid is what made me think of these guys, because these guys would absolutely be the band that I would stumble into... 2:30 in a Livid when there was no one else really I wanted to have a look at, and I'm just like walking past this tent, these guys sound cool, and go in and have 20 minutes of just absolute fucking ball.
Yeah.
Right?
Dumb fun, yeah. Yeah. And it's a damn shame.
I was looking at that Splendour lineup that they had on, and I was like, how much dumb fun is there in this lineup? Now, there might be bands in there that are dumb fun that I just don't know the names of the bands, but I would like to think that we're fairly across new music at the moment. And there seemed a lot of indie jangly Triple J bands in that lineup. But there was nothing where I was like, is this just going to be a bunch of fun? Like, even a hip hop.
Or we're just going to stand around and just solemnly stare at our shoes.
Yeah.
And I was puzzled by the choice of Kylie as headliner. Mm. I mean, who's that pulling in?
Well,
Kylie doesn't really talk to kids the way that she did, say, 10, 15 years ago.
So I did read a pretty decent Guardian piece about this where they're like, it's sort of the same thing that's happened to music in the Spotify era, in that you either want to go to a smaller festival like a Laneway festival that has a bunch of reasonably similar acts that are, or, you go to a hardcore festival, or you go to an emo festival, or you go to a hip-hop festival. Like, you want to go and see a whole bunch of bands in your wheelhouse that's not at a massive outdoor camping venue where you're paying $400 or $350.
That's well, there's your problem. I mean, $400. What was the most that we ever spent to go to a festival? You know, that we want to sound like 900-year-old men, but
I think Splendor was starting to get three figures at the end.
Yeah, but three figures was a serious issue.
Yes,
like three bills was a thing that we were not having to fucking pay in those days. I mean, obviously, if you're doing camping and all that shit, that's one thing. But what you said there is really interesting, because it alludes to the idea, like we've always said, like Gen X, we were the generation that siloed by genre and discriminated by genre. If you were a goth, then you didn't like metalheads, and if you like metal, you didn't like rap, and if you know everyone hated each other, everyone siloed in a genres. Now I've had a period where that hasn't mattered as much, and yet now we're kind of returning to it again, at least in terms of the live festival experience.
But then on the other hand, if you do want to spend big bucks, then you're not going to a festival. You're going to someone that you absolutely love, a Taylor Swift, yeah, a Beyonce, a Pink.
You're going five times to Taylor Swift, you know, in every city of Australia, and you're spending a huge amount of money.
You're even going once, but you're seeing her for, and this was always my issue as I got older, is like if I really wanted to see a band at Splendor, I'm seeing a 35-minute, 40-minute set, and I'm paying like full whack to see two bands that I like and 20 other bands that I think are pretty average because I actually have listened to their music and I don't think they're going to, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. There was always a cutoff for that, like whether I would go to a festival or not in my festival going days, which let's say are the first half of the noughts were my festival going days. And if there were like 5 to 6 acts that I would be happy to watch and they weren't, you know, they were on the bill, then yeah, I'd put my money down. There was that famous, the livid after the really busy livid, where there wasn't anybody on the bill who was particularly interesting because of all the cancellations due to 9/11. I wouldn't have gone except that a mate scored half price tickets the night before and said, do you want to go? So we went. But that was the exception. Normally you'd want to at least, you know, 4 to half a dozen bands that you'd be like, yeah, I've got something to do during the entire day. I'm not sort of standing around staring at my fucking feet, sweltering until she had come on and play at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because she had always come on and played at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was some kind of, you know, free trade agreement with New Zealand that meant that they were always in that time slot.
I always remember that big day out where Chemical Brothers were on last and there was just not really anything in that 4 till 8 slot that I really wanted to see, and I was sober. And there was so many drunk dickheads there, and I was just like, I don't think I can fill the gap with just random shit that's not that interesting.
You get that kind of Walking Dead fatigue, don't you? It's really quite tough. You just sort of is staggering around the place looking for relief, or at least a decent, you know, 10-minute gig.
I do think that rained out and really fucked up weather festivals. Like, I know festivals have always had wet weather, right? But
that seems to be the thing that killed Splendor, is actually not, you know, bookings for this venue, but the residual cost of doing business through COVID and then the flood year where they've had to pay, you know, six figures to local schools and various other things because of damage done to their properties as a result. It's a little bit like what we're seeing in the craft beer industry, where a lot of craft breweries are going into voluntary administration, not because of what's happening now, but because of accumulated debts and excise issues that go back to COVID times. In Australia, at least, it seems that in New Zealand, the excise situation is not killing off quite as many craft breweries. But it's the same thing. It's sort of accumulated pressure that ends up resolving in the thing grinding to a halt.
The long tail of decisions made. You know,
and things that weren't their fault. You know, necessarily. You know,
but it does feel
wasn't their fault.
Like the idea of a festival in Australia needs some reinvention.
But I think we felt that, you know, in the 2000s when Big Day Out went under.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of the big touring festival is already dead. Now we've got to the big one-off single venue festivals.
Hmm.
And maybe we're overreacting because it's Splendor and it's one of the last big brand names that is around from when we were there, because most of the festivals that you and I went to, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, long gone.
aren't around anymore. Livid's gone, Homebake's gone, Big Day Out's gone.
Well, there was a whole...
Splendor was the only survivor.
There was a whole slew of summer dance festivals where, like, I had a brother of a mate who spent 6 months of the year just getting absolutely ripped to go to the summer dance festivals and take the shit. Like, those just don't exist anymore. Yeah, there's, like... It's very interesting the way that the culture changes. It'll be funny to see in 5 years' time what replaces it. Because something will replace it. There'll be something.
Yeah, for sure.
People always want to see live music. But like Chasing Status, oh, man, they're playing a small venue in Brisbane the night before our next Philo training camp. Oh, so tempted. I don't have anyone to go with either. That's the other thing, because sort of none of my contemporaries are into that music.
And
it's just like, do I really want to go and be like, I'd have to be pretty much completely sober because I've got people flying in from sea. You know, I've got a job to do for 2 days and it's 2 big days. It's like, man, but it's in a small venue and it's like, fuck, they would be wicked to see. It's not the Tivoli. I think it might be the music hall. Like, they would be awesome to see in that place. It would be pumping. Absolutely pumping. It would be such a cool show to go to. And, you know, like, that's the sort of feeling that I used to have about when I didn't have the money for a Livid, right? If I missed a Livid and I'm like, yeah, just the Livid would be almost there and you'd be like, man, can I just scrape the money? Or it'd be sold out and you've got the money and it's like, fuck, I should have bought a ticket earlier. This is a really good lineup, you know? I really wanted to see this and this, and I've discovered this album now, and I like this, and it's like that feeling of missing out that I haven't had for quite a while.
But the older you get, the more you realize FOMO is bullshit.
Mm.
You know, FOMO isn't really a thing. It's just, it's anticipating a thing that doesn't actually exist. Because if you actually went, you'd have a shit time. Because
let's be honest,
a lot of the time at a festival was a shit time. It was staggering around with drunk dickheads. It was gritting your eye at South Park Partlands when it's 47 degrees and, you know,
trying to get home and are you going to get pulled up by the cops?
Yeah.
And,
mostly it was a shit time. Yeah.
The only way I could do that Chasing Status gig is to do it properly and basically sleep for the 18 hours afterwards. And I just don't have the opportunity to do that, so I'm not going to go. But damn, it looked tempting. It was so tempting. But it was $110. $110 to see one band in a small venue. Like, that's a long
way away.
See,
two middle-aged white men with Ray-Bans on.
Yeah.
Inside.
Anyway, shall we...
Speaking of electronic acts, should we talk about Gewürztraminer or whatever these fucking name is? Gestaffelsteins.
Well, do you mind if we talk about the Jesus and Mary Chain first? Because...
Do you have a theme?
It's not so much a theme, but... Because of the way the playlist happened, I listened to these two albums back to back a couple of times, and I do feel like my enjoyment of the Jesus and Mary Chain album informed the way I felt about the Yeppelstein album.
Do you think there's a dependency there? Because I can probably tell you that there isn't. I think those albums are independent of each other in whatever reaction you have to them. But if you want to start with Jesus, Mary and Joseph...
You don't think that the Jesus and Mary Chain sort of puts you in a frame of mind to think about that other album differently?
No, I think the Jesus and Mary Chain puts me in a frame of mind to fly to the UK and punch the Reed Brothers in the head as long as it takes them to make them stop recording music. And I know they like a scrap. Legendarily, they like it. They like a punch up. I'll fucking give it to them. They need to stop.
I knew you weren't gonna like.
They
this
need to
album.
Fucking stop. We did their last album, Damage and Joy, in 2017. I remember nothing about it, and this did not make me want to go back and revisit it.
I really enjoyed this album. This was.
You did fucking what? This album sucks.
The entire album sucks.
It's fucking terrible, man.
It's a bit dreary.
It's dribbling crap.
For you.
No, it's incoherent shit. It's exactly the kind of box set fucking stand service wankery that we've bagged Madness for. Good lord.
I'll definitely agree with you there. This is touching a point on my brain where I think, so a lot of the old music that I like, right, I listen to way too much and have Like, it's just too grooved into my brain. So if I hear new music from an artist like that, it's just like, oh, this is just the same shit that I always listen to. I don't think I'll listen to these guys enough, so
Notoriously, you only like their Stone at the Throne album, which was different to most of the rest of their stuff.
I think this is you certainly preferred. I definitely preferred Stone at the Throne. Their other stuff was like really fuzzy guitar.
Which this has elements of.
So I actually think this is sort of...
Not nearly enough.
This is sort of not one or the other, right? It's got a bit of the breathy lyrics and a bit of that slow, dirgy type stuff that Stone to the Throne has, but it also has a little
breathy,
bit of
electric. I think it's emphysema. I think he's just too old and it's pretty...
But I think
he might need one of those fucking CPAP machines.
It made me thinking about listening to these, you know, kicking back on a dirty hallway floor listening to these albums in 1996. I don't know. I really enjoyed this album.
Well, at least you got some joy out of it. Sounds like you had a rough week, so I'm glad you got some joy.
I will agree that it's just purely a nostalgia buzz. Like, there's bits of both types of their music in this album. It's not one or the other. They haven't lent full into either type of album that they used to do. Okay. So, did you like the other album then?
I still have things I want to jam on this album about, but
dunk away.
No, this mostly sucks. But then again, most college indie shit from the 80s sucks. The Pixies mostly suck. You know, bands like that, The Replacements mostly suck. The Go-Betweens mostly suck. Sorry, old people.
Yeah, definitely suck.
It's like most of this stuff doesn't age anywhere near as well as 90s stuff, and that's not just an age thing. It's just because the production sounds shit by comparison and all the rest of it, you know, that sort of genre stuff. But at least these guys have stopped that, you know, the idea that Legacy X are releasing actually listenable shit. They stopped that from getting out of hand. So that's something they can we wouldn't want that to become unsustainable.
The only song I really didn't enjoy was the Eagles and the Beatles. I thought that was pretty bad.
And the Eagles and the Beatles were the only two bands they didn't mention. I think they just named the Stones and all these other bands. And it was just weird.
Weird. That song was
weird. Boomer self-congratulatory shit. I didn't understand what that fucking album song was for.
That song.
Yes, here are some bands that I liked.
And it didn't feel like it fitted in stylistically to the rest of the album either.
Did the album have a style? The album, let's be very generous here. It jumps around a lot in terms of...
It's a bit meandering.
It's all over the place like a mad woman's breakfast. Was a phrase that I heard used, and I don't think that's appropriate these days because it's ableist and misogynist. Gerald Steiner, Gewurz Tremener.
I have no idea.
As quote unquote you said last week, sounds like something that gets brewed for Oktoberfest.
I don't know whether you'd call this electronic, would you?
It feels very... It's electronic, but it feels like 80s sample.
Yes.
Electronic. It felt like Giorgio Moroder, 80s soundtrack, Euro disco fucking...
I was going to say it sounded like a dude, the plugs with the big sample board where you used to have to plug stuff in to link it back into each other very, very laboriously.
It made me think of stuff like Yellow, you know, like, oh, yeah. You know, that kind of era. Because the samples and the production, the drum samples and all that kind of shit really felt that era. And he has worked in the past with The Weeknd, who loves an 80s feel. He is also responsible for helping Kanye with his homework on the last couple of things he's done, and he's not only did that, but is proud to claim it, so he must have banged his head on something. He is a favourite in the electronica hotbeds of Istanbul, Sao Paulo and Jakarta. That's where his most listened to audiences are. And that is about as interested as I was in this album, was to look those stats up, because it was meh. It was not interesting to me at all. How did you find this guy? I mean, he is like in the top 500 artists played in the world, but where did you come across this dude?
This was just a trawl of the wiki. Click on the band, read the bio on the wiki page, go, oh, okay. And then I think I usually listen to one song, and if the song isn't massively objectionable, then I give it a go. And I don't think any of this stuff was objectionable. There was some pretty songs I thought didn't work, but I actually quite enjoyed listening to the album. I thought he was having a go at some stuff.
Yeah, I've heard enough late 80s, early 90s Pro Tracker jizz. It just sounded like stuff we were doing 20 years ago, so...
Yeah, well, it sounds like I enjoyed The Week a lot more than you did, that's for sure.
Are you saying that, tracking back to your original point, though, are you saying that your enjoyment of the Jesus and Mary Lizard album made you more like the Gustafelstein album more, or it made you like it less by comparison?
I think it put me in the frame of mind to be sort of jangly and all over the place, because I do think that Jesus and Mary Chain is a bit all over the place.
For me, they were like completely independent experiences. Like, I didn't enjoy either.
but I guess, if you enjoy one thing, you're much more likely to try and link two things together. If you don't enjoy one thing, you're just like, oh, thank fuck, I'm on to the next thing, I think.
Yeah, but I enjoyed Drunk Mum, and it didn't fucking do anything for me with the other albums.
Yeah, it was only that I had that, like, I had them in that order. I had Drunk Mum last in the playlist. And I think, like, I got to the end of the playlist and went back on the three albums and went back and started again. I actually quite like listening to all three in that order. I think I did that twice, where I listened to all three all the way through. I don't know. I had a good week. I thought that was some pretty nice new music. But anyway, that's just me.
It is increasingly just you. Now, you have the Joker for this week because of not picking the Art Act album about a month ago.
I thought I'd seeded the Joker now after that.
Oh, no, you picked the last. You picked. No, you actually, no, you have lost.
Yeah, I picked the Joker this week, so I think it must be, considering your views on the Jesus Lizard.
The Jesus, on the Super Jeepers.
I don't even believe in Jesus. I think you can have the Joker if you want.
Oh, well, what album are you going to pick anyway? That was just a long wind-up.
When I was away camping, I had two different people that knew I did the podcast but don't listen to it ask if we had done the Nothing But Thieves album.
So I was cracking up by all these people who are like, yeah, now you do the podcast. I don't fucking listen, though, because fuck that. Fuck you.
Well, I hate to say, because someone else was there
that does listen, is like, regrets every moment.
No, that didn't know I did a podcast and was asking what the podcast was about, and I'm explaining the podcast, and they're like, well, if you guys know about the podcast and you're obviously interested in new music, because every time you see Bezo, you ask about, you know, new music, why don't you listen to the podcast? And Desert Island Discs might have come up.
The answer is much simpler than that. Half of the podcast is not you.
That's true.
I'm sure if I ever meet these people, you know, there'll be a lot of kind of embarrassed silences and people shuffling off.
I don't know. Have we done a Nothing But Thieves album before? That name seems familiar.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Have we done them this year? I don't think we have. I mean, they're not on the playlist, so we definitely have.
Are they on the playlist at all? You're not looking at the Google Doc.
I didn't do a Control F of the playlist, of the spreadsheet, to be honest.
We're going to do live Googling of a spreadsheet.
No, they're from Essex in England. Passionate guitar-based rock that balances indie artfulness with a pop sensibility.
I've got Nothing But Nothing by Don Arva, which is that Californian thrash band.
South End on the Sea in Essex.
South End on the Sea, innit? It's a bit of a fucking shithole.
This is their second album.
It sounds like you have dedicated yourself to picking this.
Anyway, let's give that a go. It's an album. It came out in 2024, so it qualifies.
Nothing but net, like the old Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Macca's ads.
Dead Club City is the name of the album, and there is a deluxe version. So be warned, don't pick that one. It's only 16 songs. I wonder what the difference is. Because usually a deluxe version is 36 songs, and
maybe it has the swears.
No, it's 18 minutes longer. So let's go for the short.
Yeah, bit. It's 11. It's 11 verses. And the first track is called Welcome to the DCC, which is what they play at the Dunedin City Council. I'll add that to the playlist. Am I on the right? Yes, I am. Odd choice to go for some random bunch of cunts from Essex in the week that Bob Villain and the Black Keys have dropped new albums, but, that's a choice you made.
Well, that's interesting. That Bob Villain album's not on the wiki.
Yeah, but I just got emailed by I keep telling you the wiki is not fucking accurate, man.
No, it's not. It's not perfect. No, no, definitely not.
But I just got emailed by Bandcamp, who said, "Hey, the new Bob Villain's out." I'm like, "Oh, thank you." It will be a Bandcamp. Actually, this is useless information because it'll have been Bandcamp Friday by the time that the listeners listen to this. But tomorrow is Bandcamp Friday, US Pacific time. So if you want to get in and buy some shit, get in and buy some shit. If you miss out this month, wait for next time.
Humble as the Sun. Very Bob Villain title.
Yep. So I'll do Bob Villain. Is it a bit much doing the Black Keys as well? Because that's kind of, you know, eating all your Easter eggs at once. But I've been looking forward to those two albums.
Yeah.
For months.
That might be good. And then that way, if the Essex Boys shit the bed, we can at least have two albums that we're interested in.
Yep. Are you on next week or are you're on a mission again?
No, next week I'm good. The weekend after I've got a training camp. So, which is also the weekend I could have seen Chase and Status.
Yes. You haven't mentioned that before.
I just think it would have been funny if I'd rocked up. I don't know what the... Because Chase and Status
still are pinging.
Not a young... They're not a young band. They're not like Fred Again or something like that. So I would imagine that there would have been a fairly decent cross-section of ages at that album.
Hard to say. Hard to say what, you know, what the audience for that kind of act is. Mm. Kind of a 90s throwback electronica act. But they weren't... Like, they weren't around in the 90s when that sort of shit was popping. Popping, listen to me. So the new Black Keys album is called Higher Players, and as discussed previously, it is expected to be a bit more kind of disco and funk infused than their regular, than their previous sort of shit.
Was there another two-piece that tried to do a disco-infused album that we didn't think was very disco?
The only disco album I could think of was Beyonce's. That's well, best forgotten.
Jungle, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah, but that's all their shit. That's
They are. Yeah, that they're not infused.
There was
they're entrenched disco.
It was Wobbly Jets who did their follow up album was, I suppose that wasn't disco. It was just a different kind of set of influences.
Mm.
Yeah, I can't tell you that. I do not know the answer.
Well, that'll be good. Something that neither of us would have picked, and then two albums that we both were looking forward to.
Yeah, that's why I was getting you to pick first, because I was like, which of the two is he going to go for, and I'll go for the other one? Just to make sure we got them both on the ledger. I'm like, well, now I have to pick both of them? I can't handle that level of responsibility.
No, it was like, normally when one person recommends an album to you, you go, oh, okay. And then when two people recommend it, it's like, oh, okay, well, give it a listen. Should be interesting. Not always, but sometimes.
In fact, not often at all. Oh, my God.
Well, it depends on who the two people are, I guess.
I just looked at the photo. They look like an interesting bunch of individuals.
Now,
passionate guitar-based rock that balances indie artfulness with a pop sensibility. They have scored 3 top 10 UK albums, and they have, problem.
Yes.
And in 2023, they topped the UK album charts with the full-length Dead Club City. This is an album from last year.
Oh, really? It's only the deluxe version that's this year?
Yeah.
Well, can we flip that to the Joker and have Black Keys as my pick then? Because it'll qualify as a Joker album.
Yeah, sure.
Save us having a dick around. That way I might actually win the week.
No, you've already lost it by picking the...
By having an inadequate failure.
Yes. Well, and that would be why people are familiar with the album, because it's been out for a while, and also because in May they are touring your part of the world. They're in Brisbane on May the 1st, and they're doing Moorpark, which is, they're doing the Horden on the April the 30th, and then they're at the Fortitude Music Hall, which is the venue you were talking about going to.
Yeah, that's the one that Jason said is playing. And I think that's where we're seeing Jungle as well in May.
Where is the Fortitude Music Hall? What's that building? Is that new venue?
I think that's the old McWhirters up the top.
Oh, McWhirters. It always sounds like a weird sex move. Drop the McWhirters on her.
And I've got a funny feeling
it's not in the McWhirters building, because that's in a separate building. I just clicked on it to see where it is in the map. It is off. It's off the mall. Where are we? What's Brunswick Street Mall? No, that doesn't look right. Fucking my Brisbane geography's gone to shit. I'm trying to work out where we are here. Brunswick Street. No, it's off Brunswick Street Mall.
Yeah, isn't that where Winglows is? The bottom of the mall.
Yeah, it's not quite that far. It's kind of halfway down the mall.
Okay, oh, it is too. Trying to think what that would have been before. Oh, and it's on that side of the mall.
Yep.
Hmm. Oh yeah, it is too.
It's a bit.
Yeah, it's in that next building up. It's not in that McWhirter's building.
Yeah, it's not. I'm trying to work out why it doesn't make sense, and I realise that, no, if I'm approaching, oh, I'm doing it by road, I'm actually coming on that road, not that road. Here we are, live commentating Google Maps of a city I haven't driven around in fucking in years.
A long time.
Well, the last time I was in Brisbane in a car was 2019, so.
Yeah.
That's not true. Last time I came up, I drove through Brisbane. I didn't drive through this part of Brisbane.
When did we do we did a live podcast from a flat somewhere.
That was in Bulimba, though. That was in Bulimba. That was probably 2018, I think.
Oh, right.
Because 2019, I was over for work, so I was in a.
No,
I didn't have it. Yeah. The 2018, I had. That was the you settling your debts because you gave me a pallet of random beers, including some VB.
That's right. Slip some VB in just for fun.
Yeah, because you were trying to get rid of some nasty short-dated VB that some prick had left at your joint.
Which is probably still sitting at your dad's place.
No, he drank it. Yeah. He got rid of it for me. Much appreciated. I did have one, and I was just shocked by how it just tasted like kind of sweet malt-flavoured cordial. It tasted like a lot of zero alcohol beers taste. They're like a fizzy, sweet malt cordial. They don't have any. For a zero alcohol beer, you really needed to have a lot of hop in it. Otherwise, it just tastes like nasty, sweet, fizzy cordial. I'm drinking a lot of zero alcohol beers these days.
Are they, like, yeah, have they nailed a zero alcohol beer? Is there good ones?
My go-to is actually a relatively cheap one. It's Bitburger Zero, Bitburger Dry, they sometimes call it. It's in the big cans.
Yeah.
But it's got that Germanic Hallertau hop. So it's actually relatively bitter. And that's kind of like it actually does taste like a Pilsner beer. I mean, it lacks the, with alcohol, you get that kind of sharpness and that mouthfeel. Yeah, but
punch.
It's actually not too bad. Apart from that, you have to go for like the zeros that are brewed by craft breweries, and then you're paying $20 a six pack, which is
prices.
You're paying beer prices for a soft drink, which is, you know, just buy a soft drink.
Yeah,
welcome back to our music podcast.
Yeah,
zero alcohol beer recommendations because we washed.
That will be that should be a good week in music. I am excited now because I did not know that Bob Dylan was even coming. And
I've had it on my list with the date, 5th of April. I've had that nailed down for a while because I was like, because there's quite a lot of things. If I had the pick of the Jokers, I probably would have gone for the new album by the Libertines, which is out today. I never got into the Libertines when they did their one album that was popular. Yeah. And their popularity entirely passed me by because it was like the course of 6 months. They were huge, and then Pete Doherty disappeared up his own ass, and then they disappeared again.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see what.
Well, I didn't experience him the first time. Yeah. Assuming he is. But I don't give a fuck enough to actually pick them as a joker. So this, me discussing this on the podcast, is probably the only mention this album's going to get this year.
Yeah. Cool. All right, Doc. I'll catch you on the flip side. I'll see you next week.
Cheers, man.
To reassess my sourcing again.
Yeah.
Have you found the release radar sort of dropped off a bit as a?
I haven't touched it for a while because
I was getting so much like old remixes of really old shit and and re-releases and deluxe edition.
That's interesting. I'm not getting that so much. What I've been using a lot is, and I think Adam's picked this up independently because we were discussing it on the pod, is Metacritic have a...
Yeah, that's the other one that I use.
Albums that are dropping, like, yeah. soon. And I don't tend to look at the reviews. It's just more about being told, this is dropping now.
Yeah.
We were fooled by the Jesus and Mary Chain because I think it dropped in the UK a couple of weeks earlier, but... That and your wiki thing, but I always cross-reference against what's actually in Spotify. And if it's an album I really want, I'll actually go to, like, figure out a second source. Like,
yeah.
Or Bandcamp or the band's own fucking Instagram or something to see when they've said the album's coming out.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Google. I'll just Google the thing and see what, you know, because there'll be, like, little excerpts from music.
I use Metacritic as well, but I just don't think their website UI is very good.
No, I have a tab open on a browser on my phone, and I sometimes look at it and see if it's there. But as I say, most of the it was just that it was going to be a really busy. The 5th of April seems to be a day where a lot of bands that I was interested in. There's one or two others that are interesting too. A bit like the 8th of the 3rd, Drunk Mums, Meat Bodies, Judas Priest, all dropped on the 8th.
Yeah, cool. All right. I'll pick this up now. I'll catch you later.
All right. Cheers, man.
Yeah.